This is Sunday Focus, a weekly public affairs program that looks at the topics affecting our society and the people who are making a change in the community each and every day. The people who have vision for the next generation. Sunday Focus presents new challenges for us, keeping you informed with topics of local and regional interest. Now the host of Sunday Focus, Christine Manica.
Welcome back to another edition of Sunday Focus. This is a different episode that we're doing today. We are being joined by Mitchell Olson. He is a South Dakota influencer, media guru, as I like to call him, and a local celebrity in his own right. And he's joining us to talk to us about the upcoming Anna Nicole Smith, You Don't Know Me documentary, only on Netflix. Tuesday, May 16th is when it premieres. Hey, Mitchell, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. You know, this is a little bit different for you. You've been on the show before. To talk about late night booming, and now we're talking about Anna Nicole Smith. Great title of the documentary, by the way.
I thought so too. So yeah, it's called Anna Nicole Smith, and then there's like a colon, then You Don't Know Me, right? And I thought that was a great way to describe her, considering there are so many things that people, I think, don't know about her. She was misunderstood, I would say. So this is a great way to kind of explore who she really was.
Yeah. Now, before we get into the meat of this production that you were a part of, let's get to know you a little bit. For anyone who's not familiar, you were part of the second season of Survivor, and that's kind of how your stardom got started. So can you tell us about your time on the show?
Yes. So season two was, it's been back already 20 some years ago.
Wow, you can remember that far.
I know, it's been a while. So I was, grew up in Vermilion, South Dakota. Love the South Dakota area. And then when I graduated from South Dakota State University, I went to New York to pursue theater and television or anything that deals with, you know, the arts. And while I was out there doing that, there was an audition that came up for somebody mentioned this new reality show where they're going to drop like 16 people on an island and see every week they're going to vote somebody else off. And the last person standing wins $1 million. And I thought, what a crazy premise. And I was super intrigued. And this was back when you could actually punch in like www.cbs.com and then go to the website and then learn more about this. Like, yeah. There, you know, it was back when I didn't even know about Google probably. So I'm looking up Survivor and I'm learning about this and finding it very intriguing. And I printed off what I needed to fill out and I filled all this paperwork out and I filmed a 2-minute, they only wanted 2 minutes tell us about you in 2 minutes or less. And so I filmed a VHS tape and sent that in and literally didn't know what would happen and didn't think I would get called. And I'm so surprised that I did. And it just went on and on. But you know, because they had 300,000 people audition for that season and they had to whittle that down to 16 people. And that process took months. I mean, it was really quite grueling. I think that was harder than like the show itself.
Oh yeah. And I told you before, I don't watch Survivor. I know, I just never got into it.
It's all right.
So I'm assuming that you were eating bugs, living out in the wilderness, not really having a bathroom. I mean, when I think of a show like this, I think, gosh, do I even want to be on this show? So was this kind of your way of thinking, this is my way to get into the business and to kind of start my career that way?
It in some ways, it could go that way. I mean, in fact, somebody that was on my season of Survivor was Elizabeth Hasselbeck, which a lot of people know her from being on The View. She was on Fox and Friends for many years. So this kind of took off and spiraled into a really big career for her. And it has for other people. So, but I don't think that was really my goal. My whole thing was musical theater, and I knew that this didn't showcase anything to do with what I did.
No, it didn't.
So I kind of, for me at least, my entire life and premise has kind of been just to do everything and anything that seems hilariously fun. I mean, I'm all about like having as much fun as I possibly can on this in this life. So I kind of looked at it more like that, as an experience, as something totally different and unique, and let's just see how far this can go kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I certainly, after it aired, wanted to see what opportunities could come up and what I could do with those opportunities. I mean, I even recorded a session in Nashville where I recorded a few songs, and one of them was with like Reba McEntire's backup singer, and I was in their studio, and so I had some really cool opportunities to do some things that I do like to do. Like, music was my, you know, my background and what I had a degree in, so it was kind of cool to be able to have some of those opportunities after Survivor. So I did try to, you know, spin that into some kind of a spinoff of something, you know, for a while. And then eventually came back to South Dakota, and where I've pursued lots of great things here too. I just like re-fell in love with South Dakota and everything that South Dakota has to offer. And so, I mean, I couldn't imagine living outside of the state at this point. I just really like it here.
Yeah. Now, you appeared on multiple TV shows after Survivor. So what were those opportunities? Hollywood Squares?
Hollywood Squares was great. That's one where you could like, I actually got to be a square, you know. I got to sit in there, like, I think, Whoopi Goldberg was the middle square. and they filmed like 5 episodes in one Sunday afternoon. So in between the episodes, we would go have lunch and stuff with the other people on the show.
Oh,
so
that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. Also, when I was in high school, I was on The Price is Right. When I was in college, I was on The Price is Right. And then when I moved to New York City, I was cast on The Wheel of Fortune. So little did I know that there was a game show rule where you can only be on 2 game shows in a 10-year period. You can't be on more than 2 in a 10-year period. It's a federal law. So I didn't know this, and didn't get a phone call about Survivor, Beyond Survivor, for a long time. And I kept thinking, what's going on here? And finally, they never called. They had released me from the show. So I was like, I thought for sure the audition went well. And then season 2 came along, and I thought, well, there's no way that I'm going to get on season 2 if they didn't call me for season 1. So I didn't even audition for season 2. And that's the one I ended up being on. But funny story, I was doing a musical in Utah at the time, and one of the producers of Survivor was at a wedding and sitting at the table where I was working for a woman in New York City for a temp agency, and this producer from Survivor was sitting with her at a table and telling her how she cast for Survivor, and this woman was saying, oh, a guy I worked with auditioned for that, and he got really far, and his name is Mitchell, really tall guy, and she was like, we are looking for him. Do you know how to get in touch with him?
Oh my gosh.
And so she gave them my number, and they contacted me while I was doing this musical out in Utah. And I, 2 people have my number, my parents and my roommate. So I'm like, there's no way that. And the producers called and said, we've been looking for you. We want you to be on season 2. We couldn't put you on season 1 because there's a game show rule where we can't have more than 2. You can't be on more than 2 game shows in a 10-year period. And Survivor was considered a game show at that time because we give away $1 million. But now Survivor is being categorized as a reality show. And so that no longer applies to you. And so we can put you on season 2. And so I'm like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah, if you are just listening, Mitchell Olson, he is joining us in the studio right now. He's a South Dakota media guru, and he has a connection to Anna Nicole Smith, which is why we're bringing him on to talk about that upcoming Netflix documentary. Before we get into that, you were part of one of my favorite shows, Deal or No Deal, as the casting director. And you've had so many other memorable moments and experiences. And it's important to know, and you said it too, you're still a South Dakota kid. You came back to your home roots.
Yes. Yeah, I love it here.
Yeah. You can't imagine living anywhere else.
Right. But yeah, Deal or No Deal is such a great show. I love that you love it.
Oh my gosh. I'm telling you, Mitchell, if you were still part of the show, I would say, can you get me on it or my mom? We love Deal or No Deal.
That is great. I mean, it's such a simple premise.
It is. And I would always be like, no, you got to keep going at least until you get to round five.
That's an interesting show. I enjoyed casting it, although it was probably one of the most difficult shows to cast because so many people came to that audition.
Oh,
it was new at the time. People loved the show. It's easy money. You have to admit, that's the kind of show where you're going to get everybody to audition because there isn't any skill required.
Yeah, right.
So you don't have to be good at something. You don't have to be strong or even mentally strong, you know?
Gotta have enough willpower, I guess.
Yes. So that makes it difficult as a casting director to try to decide who to pick. And so we based a lot of it on, you know, that interview and their energy and just how they seem to react to our questions. And, mm-hmm. and so that's how we picked the people. We also played once we picked them and got them narrowed down a little bit, we would play some games with them and kind of see how they would react to winning and losing different amounts of money. So we would do that. But that was a great show to cast for. And I loved my time with Deal or No Deal.
Yeah. In between meeting all these people, making connections, really hustling mm-hmm. in the industry, you somehow made a strong impression and formed a unique friendship with someone who I like to call the modern day Marilyn Monroe, Anna Nicole Smith.
Yes.
So let's start with how you met Anna Nicole.
Sure. So she and I, after Survivor, I should say about a year after Survivor was on, I got an email from E! Television asking if I would participate in their season two premiere of the Anna Nicole Show. It was their highest rated show, and they wanted to do something different with season two, where it was kind of like a bachelorette sort of thing, where Anna was the bachelorette and she was going to go on a couple of dates and I was going to be one of the dates. And so I thought, well, that's a crazy pairing, but it fits into my, mm-hmm. My criteria of, is it fun and ridiculous? And so I thought, yeah, let's do this. And so I was flown out to LA for a week, and I just remember showing up at Anna Nicole Smith's house, and it was just overrun with producers running around and cameras everywhere. And I felt so out of place and just nervous, not knowing, what to do or say or how to fit in. And right off the bat, a producer pulls me aside and says, oh yeah, so for your date, we're going to have you up on the balcony with Anna. She'll be in her bedroom and you're going to be serenading her from the balcony with this guitar.
Oh my gosh.
And you're going to sing a song to her. And I was looking at this producer like, thinking to myself, I don't even really play the guitar. I mean, I know how to play guitar, but like, not really.
Right.
I mean, I know how to strum a couple chords.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, what song am I going to sing? And he was just like, well, you know, you're a singer-songwriter, because that's what the title was under my Survivor name, was singer-songwriter.
Gosh.
And he's like, so, you know, you can make something up, which I ended up having to make something up. But I thought I should make something up that's public domain, you know, because the producers will say, we want to be able to play the song. So I sang, I did a parody to Oh Susanna and made it Oh My Anna.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So I sang that with the guitar and it was silly, of course, but funny. And I guess she liked it. But anyway, then we kind of hung out at the house and got to know each other and that evening. And so that's when we kind of became friends, was that night at the house, hanging out with her. And then after that, we would message each other. Oh, remember I am, you know, how you would instant message on the computer. We would instant message all the time, back and forth, late at night. I would look on my computer and she was almost always online. You know how it would show their little thing is
the
blue.
Emoji.
And so I would message her and ask if she was up, and she would write back, and we would just, you know, talk about all kinds of things. She, of course, as you know, was going through weight issues at the time. She was just getting signed up with something called Trim Spa, and that was a diet, you know, pill that was really successful for her. Anyway, so weight loss was a big issue at the time. She was also going through, you know, the fact that she wanted this child, and not necessarily wanting another partner attached to this child. She kind of wanted the child free and clear of all the strings that come with a child. and so that was kind of the plan at the time. Was we talked about that sort of thing as well. And so anyway, but that, yeah, so the friendship really grew from that initial meeting in Los Angeles, and she would come to New York and I would hang out with her, and occasionally I would go to LA and stay there for a couple of days or even a week. And we met in Nebraska for a kids benefit. So we hung out a lot during those last 7 years of her life.
How would you describe your friendship with Anna Nicole? You know, what kind of drew you to one another?
I think it's pretty obvious, just the sensibilities about, like, she's just, you know, just that kooky, kind of whimsical, fly by the seat of her pants kind of spirit. And I can see a lot of that in myself. So I think that was one thing for sure. I mean, you know, deep down, she's this really sweet Texan girl at heart. And I think, you know, really a people pleaser at heart as well. And just we just had a lot of similarities between us. And I think that was part of it, too.
Yeah. What is your favorite memory with Anna Nicole? Maybe did she ever want to come visit South Dakota?
We did talk about that. And I remember one particular time she was going to come out around Halloween, and we thought that it'd be fun to go door to door together doing trick or treat, like in costume. And she had mentioned that I would make a great matchstick head, where like I could dye my head red and I'd be a matchstick because I'm so tall and
my
slender.
Gosh.
And so I always thought that was a clever.
Would she be the lighter then?
Maybe.
Is that what she was thinking?
Yeah, she'd be the fire.
Oh, there you go. If you are listening, Mitchell Olson, he is joining us right now. He is talking to us about his relationship with Anna Nicole Smith, because there is a new documentary on Netflix premiering on Tuesday, May 16th. Anna Nicole Smith, You Don't Know Me. And Mitchell, he is part of that. Now, this could be hard to talk about. Anna Nicole's death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, there's a lot of layers that are involved with this subject. How did you react to the news?
Well, I was in Hawaii at the time, and I remember so clearly that my phone, I happened to be working in Hawaii at the time for a week, but this particular day I had a break and I was at the beach with a friend, and my phone was just going nuts. It was blowing up. You know, I looked at it, and every couple of seconds, somebody else was calling. And these are people that I hadn't heard from for ages, like people from Survivor and just like people I hadn't talked to in ages. And I thought, what's going on? Like, what blew up? Because this is something's crazy. So I didn't even answer any of the calls. And I remember my phone was like overheating. You know how sometimes when it gets in the hot sun, so I couldn't even answer it. I just saw it was ringing constantly. And so went back to the condo, plugged the phone in. And while I'm plugging it in, my friend turns the TV on, and every single station that we turn to is just an aerial, like, helicopter view of the hospital in Florida where she was pronounced dead. And scrolling across the bottom of the screen was, it just kept saying over and over, Anna Nicole Smith, dead at 36. I just, I couldn't, I don't know, I just, like, I, I mean, like, my heart stopped. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. And in a weird way, I guess in a weird way, you know how sometimes you almost were maybe expecting this news in a weird way. I knew that she was having a tough time. You know, she, as many people, those who followed her, at least at the time, knew she had just given birth to her only daughter, and she was so, of course, happy to have a daughter. That's all she really wanted, was a daughter.
Yeah.
And you know, she had a 21-year-old son at the time, Daniel, and he was her life. Mm-hmm. Now, he flew to the Bahamas to be with her when she was going to give birth to this daughter, and during that flight, his neck hurt, and according to somebody in the hospital room, he was given some kind of medication. Mm-hmm. And passed away, like, right there in the hospital while she was about to give birth to a daughter. So what a crazy thing to happen. I mean, if a writer put that into a movie, most producers would say that's crazy that all that would happen to somebody. It's not even believable.
Mm-hmm.
So her son dies, her daughter is born, and here you want to celebrate this life that you had, this new life, but all she can think about is the fact that her son died.
Yeah.
And she spiraled out of control. And I remember trying to have conversations after that point, and it was just a different Anna. So I knew that she, you know, was using again, and I really was worried about her well-being. And so it was one of those things where I did worry, and I did think that could happen. And so seeing it actually before your very eyes was just so sad. But yeah, just a total shock when I saw that.
How much did she tell you what was going on in her head, or just like when she did start to use again? Because sometimes when someone is an addict, they don't like to divulge so much.
You're right.
So how much did she let you in on her life that way?
Yeah, you're right. After she gave birth, she definitely didn't want to lead on that she was using again. I remember that there was even a video that came out of her where she had painted her face, and she appeared that she definitely was using. And so I remember that was made it pretty clear that we thought, yeah, she is certainly having troubles again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. It wasn't easy to get that out of her because at the same time, I felt bad. She had gone through such a tough situation. And don't forget, at that time, pills, in a weird way, were looked at, especially from her, were looked at like, you know, these are doctor prescribed. These are things that should be safe to take. Mm-hmm. I mean, and she kind of looked at pills that way, unfortunately. And depending on the combination and how many you take, they, of course, can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. We now know, of course.
So when this upcoming documentary, Anna Nicole Smith, You Don't Know Me, I like to think of it as like a tribute to Anna in a way.
Yeah.
So would you say this story is a way to keep her memory alive? And how did you get involved with this project?
Absolutely. I think it's a way to keep the memory alive. In fact, I talked to the producers. They had mentioned that you know, this particular documentary is going to showcase some never before seen footage of her that they found from the 90s, and some home videos and other footage that has never been seen before. They also mentioned that this documentary will really be told from her point of view too. They have a lot of that footage to use from her point of view. They also are talking to people they've never talked to along the way, a lot of new people, to provide parts of the story that haven't been provided before. And so I always watch these documentaries thinking eventually they're going to get to the full truth of Anna's life, life and death. And I think that this documentary is going to be that time where we finally see them reach that truth, that full story, I think.
I know you can't say too much right now, but what was filming like? Did the producers even say, let's go to South Dakota to get your side?
That actually was talked about. We did consider it for a while. And in the end, we met in Palm Springs, which was a very special place for Anna. That's somewhere where she would vacation. That's where she met her assistant, Kimmy. And so Palm Springs was definitely a spot of interest for her, and so it was nice to film there, although very hot. We would walk out of the hotel and it would take your breath away how hot it was.
I think
it was like 116 degrees, and the other thing is, like, the news reporters, they report on it like it's so common, you know, like, oh yeah, another day of 116, like it's no big deal. But yeah, it's hot there. But yeah, so we filmed it there in Palm Springs, and that was quite a production. They rented out this entire house just for this filming of it, and mm-hmm. there's a big beautiful pool behind me, and the pre-interviews started long before, you know, where the producer would call me from London, and we would talk on the phone for hours, and she would start back at the very beginning, like, about my life. And,
sure.
And so they really learned about each person in this film. I mean, I couldn't believe how much work they put into the backstory and into the people who are part of this film. I even asked how long they had worked on this, and they said that they put 3 years into this film, and that's way longer than they normally put into mm-hmm. a project like this. But this is a full feature documentary for Netflix, and so they really wanted to give it their all.
Again, this is Mitchell Olson, South Dakota media guru, talking about the upcoming Anna Nicole Smith You Don't Know Me documentary on Netflix May 16th. And just a couple more questions for you. Did you just feel like the memories were rushing back as they were asking you questions about Anna Nicole?
Yeah, it was interesting, because they were specifically wanting memories of things that we did together, and just memories that I had about her or things that she had said. So it was certainly an emotional time for me during that interview process, and I caught myself, like, crying during the documentary, and then thinking to myself, oh my god, they're so gonna use that, because they always use crying.
And
I'm worried now that, like, 700 million people are going to see me ugly cry on TV, and that's way too many people to see that.
How do you think people are going to feel after watching this documentary, or what do you think their opinion of Anna Nicole Smith is going to be? For one, I think people are going to learn that there is a South Dakota connection to Nicole. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how people react to that. But also, I'm excited to see how many really truly remember Anna. I know that I do speak at sometimes at schools and things like that, and when I bring up Survivor or The Wheel of Fortune or Price is Right, all these kids, third graders, fourth graders, they all get it, because they see these shows on TV and they like those shows too. But when I mention Anna Nicole Smith, or if that ever comes up, they're just blank, because it's not something that registers with them. So so I did start to wonder if this was a topic that people had forgotten about, but so I'm kind of excited to see that after I posted it, I'm having even strangers come up to me and say, oh, we're so excited, we have our TVs set on our calendar, we're so excited to watch. So it's making me see that adults definitely remember Anna Nicole. I do know that during that time, and a lot of people forget this, but when she died, America didn't know who the real father was at that time. Mm-hmm. So they had to go through a 30-day trial keep her body, like, cold for 30 days before they could bury her, while they decided who the real father was. And it was such a grueling process. And I remember hearing a statistic that said that trial had more media coverage than 9/11. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's insane. So, so it really goes to show how people can get so enthralled in a case of this nature, especially when it's salacious like this and has so much tied to it, with the death and with everything else and mystery.
And when there's money involved.
Let's not forget millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Mitchell Olson, once again, he is the South Dakota influencer, media guru, and he was here to tell us all about Anna Nicole Smith, You Don't Know Me documentary on Netflix Tuesday, May 16th. You're also part of Late Night Boom and Mitchell. So for anyone that's wondering, just to wrap this up, when is season two?
Yes, season two of Late Night Boom and we don't have a date yet picked for that, but it's going to be, we're hoping, this summer is the plan. So right now, now. We're just kind of getting our ducks in a row. We're talking with some potential sponsors. We're talking at potential guests. We're talking through, all sorts of fun things. And so we're hoping that season two of Late Night Boomin' will be probably this summer. But definitely we'll keep you posted. There's still lots of good stuff to come from that.
All right, awesome. Once again, Anna Nicole Smith, You Don't Know Me, premieres on Netflix Tuesday, May 16th. And Mitchell, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Sunday Focus is a public affairs program of Results Radio, Town Square Media, Sioux Falls.